Okay, we're picking up the Gemara 11 lines from the bottom of Kuf Hamad Beis with the words of Amar Rav Shimon. So again, we're in a beautiful, a lot of nice agadotos over here. So the Gemara is going to continue about talking about mourning an upright person. The Gemara says Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara Kol Amorei Demaus Al Adam Kasher. Someone who cries for someone who is an Adam Kasher, a good person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofer Minicha Beis Gnazar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, he's going to put them in his storehouse and save them and give you schar for that crying that you had. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Nodis Farta Tasima Dimasi Merecha Lomis Farsach. The pasuk says that you literally, you're going to wander, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that you yourself have counted that Hashem placed my tears in Nodadech. Over here is referring to your type of a kli, like a flask. Halobis Farsach, they're not going to count them, meaning you're going to be counting all the reward. All the tears that I shed for kosher people. I just saw a beautiful shot in the name of the Avnei Nezer. He asked, why are we using the lotion of Adam Kosher? Kosher reminds us of something that's like kosher and treif, like an animal. What was this reference here to Adam Kosher? It's supposed to be like kosher and treif. It's supposed to be like Adam Tov, Adam Yashar. What's it referring to Adam Kosher? So he says beautifully that when it comes to an animal, we know that what's the difference between kosher and treifa is that kosher is able to last a whole year. That's the gedra of Chazal. That's the halacha. That if it lasts 12 years, if it lasts 12 months, that means that it is considered a kosher animal. So he says that what does that mean? The deeper kavana of that is that an animal is able to last through all seasons, through the winter, through the spring, through the summer, and through the fall, everything that this animal can last through. He says that's the pshat of Adam Kasher over here by a person. Is that whatever Hashem gives a person, that's the devil of an Adam Kasher. Is that you go through whatever Hashem sends your way. And I think that was a very good message for all of us now who have tremendous, whether it's fear of parnasa, whether fears of all the things that we have right now, whatever Hashem's sending our way, that we are going to be Adam Kasher with Hashem, and we'll be that one who speaks so nicely about that we shed tears for those people. So now the word continues. Amar Avudah Marav, Kol Mas'atzel Be'Hespidah Shul Chacham. However, someone who acts lazy and doesn't take proper honor for a chacham, Roy Lekover B'Chayav, he should be buried alive. The pasuk says, Amar Avikros Be'Gvul, Nachla So B'Tzimnach Terach Asher B'Har Ephraim Mitzafon Lehar Gash. It says that it was referring to Yoshua. They buried him in the border of the inheritance of Teretz Yerach, which is the Har Ephraim, which is again north of Har Gash. So Mitzafon Lehar Gash is a question of Gemara. Why do you have to repeat Har Gash is the area of Har Ephraim? We know what Har Ephraim is. Why are you repeating Har Gash? So Gemara has a drush on the reboy, the fact of Hargash, the regesh, the lashon of Ragash, is to tremble, melamachir ragash, alein har lahorgan. This is teaching us that Hargash Baruch Hu trembled the mountain in order to kill them because they didn't properly give a hespe to Yoshua and they didn't properly maspid him. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol mis'atzel be'hespedo shel chacham, anyone who's lazy over a chacham's hespe, his eulogy, eino ma'arich yam, he's not going to have long life. Mida k'neged mida, this is going to be mida k'neged mida, that he didn't, Rashi points out, he didn't mourn properly for the chacham, so too his life is going to be cut short, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it exactly what he deserves. Shenemar, the pasuk says, b'sasa b'shalcha tarivena, the pasuk says the exact measurement that you deserve. B'sasa is usually the way to measure a sop. You're going, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send you the person away, that the exact measurement they deserve, you are going to be punished. The Gemara asks the kashya of Eisi ve'Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and Rabbi Yochanan. Vayavdu Hashem et Yoshua kol mei Yoshua, v'chol mei zakenim asher arichu yamim achrei Yoshua. The pasuk in Shoftim right after was just referencing that the Klal Yisrael never sinned. In Shoftim they started to do Avodah Zarah, but they never sinned until all of the Zekenim Matzah and Yoshua and all the days of Yoshua. But the point of this, that the point of our over here we're pointing out is that the Zekenim who had seen Yoshua, they lived very long. Zekenim they called them, very old, the elders. So if they lived a long life, then obviously we see they did a long, long time. So then it can't be that they can't lost the how is it true if they didn't properly masped Yoshua. So Mark continues, Amar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Bavlai, Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. So he was responding to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, she points out that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was coming to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. So he said, you Babylonian, yamim erichu, shanim lo erichu. They lived long days, however, they did not live long lives, Rashi points out, meaning that they were able to live a long life, however, they did not live a long life, but it was in good condition. They didn't live, meaning Ziknos over here is referring to the fact that they lived a short life, however, it was in good condition. So but they still didn't last very long. I once heard a different shot that it means Yom Erichu V'Shanim Erichu, that they lived their days, but they didn't live their years. They didn't live, they didn't enjoy it, they didn't have a Geshmak, they didn't have Ruach, they didn't have Ruchnias, they didn't have real years. And that's a nice shot. Otherwise, the Gemara says, Elam Ha'ata, Leman Yerbu Yemeichem, the Pasuk says, Yeman Yerbu Yemeichem, Meim Neichem. The Pasuk is telling us, Shemas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yamim Veloshanim, meaning that we say this every day in Kriyat Shema that Hashem is going to give us long days and our children long days. So you're going to tell me, oh, this is not a bracha at all. This is really telling us Hashem is clearly saying it as a bracha. Yet you're telling me this is only a reference to days and not years. And we're not going to have long life, longevity. So Gemara says with bracha shayni. No, that when it comes to bracha, obviously Hakadosh Baruch Hu means you're going to both have the arichas yamim, the amount that you're going to have quality of life and quantity of life. You're going to live a long life as well. Now the Gemara continues. If a brother dies, Yidagu Kol Achim Kula, and all the brothers should worry that they are also going to die. Echad Mnei Chabura Shemes, if one of the members of a group of the Chabura are learning together, whatever friends we might be, Tida Kol Chabura Kula, the whole group, everyone should be worried about dying as well. Gemara says Amri Lei Demes Gadol. Some say that it was only a reference to someone who's a great tzaddik who's dying because that everyone the Midas Hadin came on him, the Rosh HaBayis, and everyone has to be careful. The Amri Lei cut, and some say that a reference to the least among them, because then if it's even them, then obviously then it's going to start from the least amount and then come and work its way up. It's going to be Rav Shechter Shlita. When Rav Nassan Tzvi passed away, he quoted this Gemara about Tida Kol Chabura, we have to be careful because Rav Nassan Tzvi is a leader of the, okay, whatever, beautiful shot. But anyway, this is the idea that everyone, if Rechon Al-Tzlan, a tragedy happens in the community, that's usually why there's usually his orders for the whole community, because really, Yidag Kol Chabura, this is based on this Gemara, that we all have to fear for our own Midas Adin. Okay, going back to the Mishnah says, Rechon Al-Kalkalim Vatur, and that anyone who acts destructively is going to be put, or he said again, because that was not similar to Malachas that were done in the Mishkan. So the Gemara asks, Tanya Rabbi Abba Kamei Rabbi Yochanan. So there's a Rabbi Abba who taught a brisa before Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Kol Makalgam Turin Chutz Mechov LaMavir, that everyone who acts destructively on Shabbos is going to be Pater, except for Chovel Umavir, someone who is creating a wound on Shabbos, or you burn something. In those examples, right, Rashi points out that based on the Gemara above a comment that said someone who, because we have a concept of Kimla Rabbimine, that you get only the more chomer punishment. Or if a person violates Shabbos at the same time, does an act of Nezikin, you don't have to pay the damages, you only, because you're going to be Chayav Misa. The Gemara learns that from, we get that from, but that's the, that's what we learn out from that pasuk. So when it comes to the someone who lights a fire on Shabbos, the Gemara learns out that you are going to be putter from payment because at the end of the day you are going to be chayav misa. So the Gemara was assuming clearly that you're going to be chayav misa for Shabbos by lighting the fire. So that's clearly what we see over there. And the same thing we see also when it comes to paying damages for someone who does a chabura, that situation also is going to be chayav misa. So you're not going to be chayav to pay back. So the Gemara says over here that makes sense. So therefore, chovel lamavir, even if that is by definition mekalkel, right? You're creating a wound. That's not something you wanted there, or you're lighting a fire, destroying destructive act, and you're still going to be chayav misa. The Gemara now says, Amar Lei, so which he responded back to Rabbi Abau, he said, Puk tana la bra. Go take your brisa outside of here. Get it out of here. What do you mean? That's ridiculous. That can't be pshat. Chovel lamavir in a Mishnah, that the ruling that someone who's wounding a person can't be that's really pshat. That can't be that's the right pshat, because we know that's also destructive. It's pashat. If something's destructive, you're going to be putter. The Gemara says, Imtum to the Mishnah, you want a taina that maybe that is actually a valid teaching. It's not a brisa that was incorrect. Then chovel b'tzarech lechal. But the only example when you could say that they're going to be chayav on chovel for creating a wound, that'd be someone who's inflicting a wound where he actually needs the blood for his dog. In that situation, therefore, it's not going to be considered destructive. It's constructive because the fact that he needs is the blood, and therefore it'd make it a constructive malacha. The Gemara now says, ma'avir bitzarech la'afra, and also with regards to the ruling, someone who burns something, that's referring to a case where he actually needs the ashes. In that situation, we're going to assume it's also a positive thing. The Mira just points out that here too, though, b'pashtus, a guy wants ashes, there's many ways he can get it. He doesn't have to destroy like a fancy chair or whatever he's going to be destroying to get to those ashes. So Miri writes that even though at the end of the day maybe the damages are going to outweigh the benefits, as long as a person has a benefit, maybe some benefit, even if it's a little bit of a benefit, you would still in fact be chayav. That's what Miri points out, very interesting, from his lash of the way to explain the Gemara. So now the Gemara wants to reject the Rabbi Abba's understanding of the Braisa. The Gemara says, V'hana antanan kol mekalkum paturin. We learn in the Mishnah that anyone who acts destructive is going to be putter without exceptions, meaning we don't assume that there's any exceptions whatsoever, and the Mishnah seems to say across the board they're going to be chayav. So how can we hold that a person is going to be chayav only for meaning it sounds like that you, when it comes to chabura and mavir, that you should be pater as well without any exceptions whatsoever. So the Gemara now answers. The Gemara says, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah has to follow Rabbi Yehuda, and the Brace of Rabbi Shimon, and the Brace is going to be referring to Rabbi Shimon. So what's this? That our Brace was following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the machlokas of of the malacha shetzricha legufa. So now Rashi points out that we never see explicitly there's any other malacha, that any other category of what this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon must be. So Rashi thinks that it's really going to be the machlokas of whether or not malacha shetzricha legufa, whether or not a person is doing an act which is not needed for its defined purpose, right? When we saw this thing yesterday, we see it a few times, many times already, that we had the malacha shetzricha legufa and malacha shein tzricha legufa, that if they're just trying to avoid a different act or your purpose is different, not for the actual malacha, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't matter, you're still going to be chayav on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Shimon says if that's not your intention to actually do that malacha, even though malacha is being accomplished, Rabbi Shimon would hold, you are going to be putter. Now the way that that would manifest itself into this machlokis over here is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have a malacha shein tzricha legufa, when it's not for its defined purpose, it still has to have a positive result. So if someone is doing something because he has a positive result, meaning because he needs the blood, so then he's going to be chayv even though his malacha was actually destructive, because at the end of the day, you have benefit for doing that result, and therefore it's not kilkul. And the similar thing would be with regards to burning, that you need the ashes. At the end of the day, you have a benefit. So the fact that you have a benefit does not create kilkul anymore, meaning Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees that there's a principle of kilkul, of ruining it, and you would be putter if they're wearing kilkul. So therefore, only when you do these two malachas, when there's not a kilkul, where there's some benefit, like we pointed out with the mirror, it has to be any benefit whatsoever, then it would be iser deraisa. However, if you don't have that, then you would not be chayav. However, the braisa we're going to assume is Rabbi Shimon, that holds that you're going to be chayav, as we're about to see, we're going to expand upon this, we're going to learn that Rabbi Shimon's going to hold that the gzeiras hakosuv tells you that when it comes to chabura, when it comes to creating chabura, when it comes to mavir, you in fact are chayav, even if it's a destructive act in nature, the Torah is mechadish over here, that you are going to be chayav in this circumstance. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, you would be chayav. So the Gemara now is going to analyze that. The Gemara is going to come to this. The Gemara asks, "My time at Rav Shimon." But according to Rav Shimon, at the end of the day, you're doing something destructive. So why are you going to be chayav when you do mekalkel or chabur, mekalkel or mavir? Then maybe you should say you never chayav in mekalkel chabura. So the Gemara now says, "Mid itzrach kral lemishrei mila, then ha chova be'alma chayav." Because we're going to learn out. And the Hamshech, the Gemara is later on, the Kuflam somewhere there, we're going to learn out that the Gemara is going to tell us, the Pasuk says, of Yom HaShmini, Yimal B'Sar Alasa. The Gemara says, B'Yom HaShmini is extra, so therefore the Chiddush is, the Gemara has to learn out that we learn out Afilu Mila B'Shabbos, and therefore you're going to be, it's going to be permitted to do Mila on Shabbos. So now, why do you need to tell me that? Clearly, that implies that creating a wound, what iser have you done when you create a milah? So it must be that creating a wound is going to be an iser de areisa, and the Torah has to be chadesh that is going to be mutter in the case of a milah. And now Rav Shimon is now going to flesh this out. Midasar achmana havara gabi bas koin. So now that was the first case. Now I get it according to Rav Shimon that basically it's gzeiras hakasuv that when it comes to chabura, you don't need it to be a productive malacha, and the fact that the fact that it's allowed, the gzeiras hakasuv tells you that it's going to be a malacha that's done even if it's something that you did even without with creating that it has been inherently, it's going to be something that is destructive. Now, havara begabas kohen, asar achmana havara gabas kohen. So now, also, that when the pasuk says it's going to be asar it's going to be asar to kill a bas kohen who is chayav misa. We know that a bas kohen, the pasuk says ba'ish tisareif, right? She's going to be punished with sreifa. The Gemara learns that dafka when we're talking about in a nasu, I think, right? Machlokas from Shimon over there, actually, the Gemara said hedrin. But the ma'isa, we're talking about a woman who's married. Daughter of a Kohen who commits adultery. She committed one of the big three. She has relations while she's married, so she is not going to be chayav the regular punishment of chenek. She's going to be chayav srifa. So now, when she's chayav srifa, the Gemara learns out that doing this is actually an iser de areisa on Shabbos. The Gemara Nivamos learned this out from Psukim that you don't execute someone on Shabbos, and doing so would be an iser de areisa. So why do you have to learn it out? That's an iser de areisa to execute someone on Shabbos specifically through srifa, through doing the action of burning her agav. It's not literally burning. The Gemara Sanhedrin learns out it's putting lead down her throat. So Gemara says, so we must learn, Rav Shimon's telling us, Shmamina Mavir Baal Machayev, that in general, if the Pasuk has to come out of its way to tell you that over here, that it's going to be, there would have been an Isra D'Oraisa, so then clearly, we see from there that someone who does Sreif on Shabbos is going to be Chayev and Isra D'Oraisa, even if there is no productive purpose. The fact that you're killing her is not considered a productive purpose, that you've done something bad. I mean, obviously, she's a sinner and she deserves it, but at the end of the day, that would not be considered something as productive. So then again, it's very interesting. So what comes out over here is that according to Reb Shimon, whenever you have mavir and whenever you have chabura, that by nature those two malachas, it's like a kula because he's always that he holds malachas shenitzer legufa as pater. But here comes out a big chumra because of that. That therefore, because he has to then come on to say that when it comes to mavir and when it comes to chabura, those two things are going to be chayev as all across the board every time because there are malachas inherently that are considered malachas that are destructive. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, how was he going to explain? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that really he's going to counter back and he's going to say that really the guy is having a constructive purpose in the day. Because at the end of the day, Ravashi says that what's the difference between a mila where Rashi says that you've misaken the gavra. Now he's a yid who has a kedusha Israel, a full kedusha that he's now circumcised and he's not an oral anymore and all those halachas and everything like that. So therefore, what's the difference between that and fixing a kli? So therefore, we see that that's considered a constructive act, and therefore the pasuk had to come out of its way according to Rabbi Yehuda to learn out the chiddush over there to learn out that it's going to be permitted on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yashuv just points out, he says at the end of the day though we don't really. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon disagrees, right? Because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that doing a mila is considered misakin it. So Rabbi Yashuv is asking Kasha though. He says why then before the Gemara says according al meso that when you are mechuyev in the kriya then it's not considered a kilkel. L'chor l'afir Rabbi Shimon, we should assume that it's going to be a kilkel there, even when you're doing it for a mitzvah. Because we see that when you're doing a mitzvah, according to Rabbi Shimon, apparently that doesn't elevate its status to assume that it's considered a positive measure. According to Rabbi Shimon, we look at the action, not at the result of the mitzvah. The result of the mitzvah is not going to help you. So that's a very strong kasha from Rabbi Yashuv. Either way, that's what the Gemara assumes right now. Bedas Rabbi Shimon, bedas Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara also gives another answer. So again, now we've answered why it's okay. Why according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk gabe chabura. But what about gabe mavir? So the Gemara says malav vashel psila, malav vashel simanim. At the end of the day, there's no difference according to Rabbi Yehuda if you're trying to cook the lead in order for the wicks to execute the woman, or as opposed to cooking the simanim, the herbs in the Mishkan. So what's going on over here? That at the end of the day, Rashi's pointing out that they used to be, you would mazik the psila of the lead in order to put it into her mouth, and they used to do this in order to melt it down in order that you could put it down her throat. So, but this end is directive day. What's the difference between this and the way they used to cook the herbs, which is also melting it down ki'ilu, and therefore it's also considered a positive thing. So here too, there's no difference. This is a positive thing. There's no kilkel whatsoever. At the end of the day, you're doing mitzari if you're going to be melting it down. That is that would be the Isser Deraisa as well over here. Now the Mishnah continues, meaning at the end of the day, that's the result that you wanted. You wanted it to be melted down in this form, so that was not really kilkel, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to be positive. Now the Gemara continues, quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shir HaMelaben, what's the minimum shir? Someone who's going to be whitening to cleaning up. We said it was the Kirocha Vasit. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Mechave Kafel. Rav Yosef said that it was like a kafel, it was a double over. So what does that mean? So Rashi points out that it's going to be the space between someone's index finger and the middle finger two times over. They double that amount, that's going to be the shir. Rav Chiya bar Ami, Rachmi v'Pashur. Rav Chiya bar Ami said that is no. It's a Pashur. Literally means it's a simple shir, meaning that he explained Rashi says the difference between a gudal and his index finger over there, so it's going to be the equivalent to double the length of the space between the index finger and the middle finger. That's how he explained it. So, okay, so that apparently, it's just a different level of interpretation, but at the end of the day, it seemingly is pashtus, is the same exact shear. Okay, now we're ready to continue to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses malacha of tzad, of trapping. So it says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hatzad tzipor lemigdal utzvi labayis chayev, that someone who traps a bird into a small little closet or a deer into a bigger area of even a house, then you're going to be chayev for doing the malacha of tzad, of trapping. So again, Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that based on Rashi, that Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that only a bird that's trapped in a closet is going to be tzad. However, if you have it in a house, the bird can still fly around and go through the windows. Then, therefore, not going to be tzad. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda also considered an animal like a deer going to be only in a house, but a larger enclosure we're going to see. Then he's not going to be considered trapped. Lafi Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachamim omrim tzipor lemigdal. However, the chachamim say that when it comes to a bird, it's going to be considered trapped by putting it into a closet, like Rabbi Yehuda. So they agree with that. Then turning on to the next one, tzula gina lachatzu bivarim, but when it comes to a deer, if you want it traps it into a garden or a courtyard or a different type of enclosure, then you would be chayev. You'd be chayev because that is going to be considered trapping. Rashi points out that when it comes to the tzvi, that when you bring it into your house and you're not fun of, if you bring it to the chatzar, that is going to be the chatzar, when you bring it into the gin or the chatzar, according to Rashi, then the house or the courtyard, that would not be chayev, that would not be tzeda. So now the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer. Rabbi Shimon Galil says, lo kol abivarin shavin, that not all the enclosures are going to be the same halacha. We're going to see the different statuses for different enclosures. That klal, this is the general law when it comes to being chayav, the malach of tzad, mechusar tzeda potter, something that is lacking trapping. We're going to see what this means, but Rashi points out, it'll be written in the Mishnah. Rashi says it's something that's difficult to take hold of it, then it's going to be pater. Shani she'enu mechusar tzeid is going to be chayav, lacks it, then it's going to be chayav again. We're going to discuss this. Gemara says now, Tanan Hatzam, we learn in the Mishnah in Beitza that ain't sadadagim and abivarim b'yom tov. You're not allowed to trap fish from a fish pond on yom tov. Why not? We know that there's a concept of mitoch shehutra, ochel nefesh, letzorech, hutra, adamish, lo, letzorech. Sorry, we don't even have to come mitoch. The malacha of your lad, that we tell you that when it comes to ochel nefesh, it's totally mutter to do malacha. So why is that? So the gzera pashas the rabbanan is that a person that only if something is going to be the same quality is we assume that the mitoch that we're going to allow you to do the malacha, that it's not only if it's going to be the same quality, like shechting that day, so it's fresher meat, then we allow you to do the malacha, making food, cooking food that day, so it's better food, it's better, it tastes better. However, we don't allow you to do malacha that could have been before. So trapping something is not going to be allowed because trapping is something you could have done before yantiv. So now the Mishnah continues and the Mishnah says ve'ein nostin lefnei mezonos. So then, since these animals are muktzah, Rashi points out it's going to be a tircha Sarah, then to put food in front of them. And therefore, since these animals are mukta and you have no chiyuv at all to feed them, so then it's going to be mukta for you to put them in front of them. Achagav, it's a big problem why people take bread and throw it to the on Rosh Hashanah when they do tashlich. The pashlich is completely aser. So aval tzadin chaya ve'of, when it comes to, you're allowed to catch chaya, usually a wild animal, like an example would be like a deer, right? Be like a non-domestic animal, which would be a deer. Or chaya, or oaf is going to be birds, different types of birds from the bivin when they were trapped before yantav, because over here we're assuming that they're considered already trapped, so therefore the malach of trapping doesn't apply to taking hold of them. So therefore, okay, it would be mutter in this situation. Venos the famazonas, and you're allowed to put food in front of them. The Gemara now says, astir the mina, we have a, this is going to contradict the following braisa. Bivarin shel chayos v'shel opas v'shel dagim ein tadim im yom tov. They're not allowed to trap animals of different birds or fish from their enclosures on yantav. Ve'enos in the fam is zonos, and you're also now allowed to put food before them on yantav as well, because according to this price, so we're assuming that the wild animals over here and the birds and the fish, all of them are not considered trapped in a beeve in this enclosure, since they're not allowed to be trapped and they're going to be mukta, so therefore not allowed to feed them. So therefore, someone who is doing that would not be chaya for trapping. So we see though, kasha chaya chaya. The Mishnah's ruling though would be a stira between wild animals in the brisa as opposed to the Mishnah, kasha ofas ofas, and also with regards to birds, is a stira over here, right? The both case of Mishnah said it's mutter to trap them from the biv on yantiv. And that was this. The Mishnah's ruling, how the brisa says both cases are going to be aser. So the Gemara says no. Bishlam achayah achayah lo kasha. I understand how we can make a chiluk between, and we can answer up the stira between the brisa and the Mishnah with regards to the wild animals like the deer, because ha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, because the brisa is going to follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan is going to follow the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be the chamim consider a deer to be trapped when you bring it into a biv. So therefore, taking it from such an enclosure would be permitted on yantav, because it's already considered before, and you already had the trapping. So therefore, we can answer again that the brisa is going to be shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is going to reflect the shita of the Chachamim. So then that's fine. However, the Gemara asks though, ela ofas of akasha, how are we going to answer the stira with regards to birds? The Mishnah says that birds is going to be aser, and we don't see Rabbi Yehuda makes any chiluk between birds and the brisa. Sorry, again, so the birds lachor shari, so be mutter to feed the Mishnah, to feed the brisa, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara now says, so you could say maybe you could give the following terrors. That maybe you could say that birds is also not akasha. That the ruling of the Mishnah was saying that it's mutter to take the birds. That's referring to where it had a roof on it. If it had a roof on this enclosure, then it's going to be considered already trapped and therefore not be an issue. However, the brace which is saying it's usher to take in this anyantiv, to take the bird, that is referring to, that's referring to one that's not roofed. V'habi b'ayis to makorahu, but when it comes to a bias, a house that is roofed, v'ubein Rabbi Yehuda bein l'rabbanan, so yet both, according in our Mishnah, both Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham in our Mishnah, tzipor l'migdal in the bias low. That only a tzipor for a, if it's going to be considered bringing it into a closet is going to be trapped. However, if it's in a house, it's going to be, it's not going to be considered trapped already. So therefore, if it's in your house, you shouldn't be allowed to take this bird on yantiv and teshechta, because you're doing the malach of tzad by capturing it from there, because it's considered ready to not have been captured yet. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Huna Am Hakha Bitzibur Dora Skina. In the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham agree that a bird is considered trapped only in a closet but not in your house, That's referring to the tzipor dror, the fishin mekabalos marus, because this type of bird that literally doesn't accept any master, meaning that this bird is going to fly around your house wherever it goes. So since it's in your house, it's still considered something that is going to be not trapped in, because in your house it's flying around. However, a normal bird that doesn't do that would be considered trapped even in the house, and therefore on yontif would be mutter. The tzad of Rabbi Shmuel, because we learn in the brayser of Rabbi Shmuel, lamanik rishma tzipor dror. Why do we call this bird a dror bird? Because it lives freely like in a house as it does in a field. It flies around wherever it wants in this house, and it just like as it would even in the field. However, ordinary birds, they're going to, when they're in the roofed enclosure, they don't necessarily fly around, and their birds, they're going to be considered trapped. So therefore, the Mishnah, we're going to assume, is taking birds would be allowed if a roofed enclosure, that's normal birds, would be allowed even lefi Mishnah. But the Brisa is saying it's usher, we're talking about where you'd be permitted to take them from an area that's not mekora, that's not unroofed, and therefore it's not going to be considered previously trapped. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Hashidas lahachis." Rashi says, "Now that we've done this, that we've said that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are libad rabbanan, then you can answer the Braisa, the first part of the steer of the Braisa differently. Also, when it comes to chayachayim lemekashim, when it came to the steer between wild animals and the Braisa and the Mishnah that said that you're chayav, and the Braisa and the Mishnah would seemingly say that you're pater, because habibir gadol, the Braisa is referring that it's usher to take it on yontev is referring to a large enclosure, habibir katan, and this one is referring, the Mishnah is referring to a small enclosure. Therefore, the chachamim and our Mishnah considered a deer to be trapped when you bring it into enclosure, referring to a small enclosure, not a large one. So the Gemara now says, what exactly is the shear of a large enclosure? What's the shear of a small enclosure? So now the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, kol hecha derayt basrei, anywhere where you could chase the animal, reach it and one lunge, the beer katan, that's considered a small enclosure. And anything else that's bigger than that would be considered a large enclosure. You know, I mean, another answer to the Gemara, I guess, tula, so the Gemara says, now, when you have where the shadows of the wall are reaching one another, that the enclosure is so small, the shadow of the wall reaches the opposite wall, then that would be considered bivir katan, that would be considered a small enclosure. V'idach, bivir gadol, anything else would be considered a large enclosure. V'inami, kolhecha, deleka uktzi. So there's another answer. Now we're saying that where there are not many corners into which an animal can escape, bivir katan is going to be a small enclosure. V'idach, bivir gadol, anything else would be a large one. Rishonim point out, the Pashas, these answers aren't arguing, they're just trying to give the Gedarim in different terms so people can understand exactly what the shear should be. Now we're in the Mishnah said, Rabbi Gamliel, Shimon ben Gamliel said that not all bivarin are going to be the same. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel." Halacha ki Rabban Gam Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha is going to be following Shimon ben Gamliel. That someone's going to be chayav for driving a deer only into a biv, which is considered already, meaning into a small biv. So the Gemara now says, you said halacha follows Shimon ben Gamliel, but who argues on them? We don't see anyone argues. The way we explain the chachamim, they're also going to allow an animal only into an animal be chayav in a biv katan. An animal is considered already trapped beforehand. So we see based on the answer we gave that really the chachamim should agree with the getter of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that there's a difference between what animals and what enclosures, that a small enclosure and a large enclosure would depend on whether you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, Amr Leir, Rav Yosef responded to my nafka lechamina. At the end of the day, what's the difference? If I tell you the halacha, if they're arguing, Then the halacha does follow Rishon Gamliel, but the way I said it, who cares if the chachamim are really agreeing with him or not? That's the halacha. So meaning, bottom line, I said the halacha right. So what's the problem? Amar Leig, Gemara says, hey, are you telling me that we learn halachas in order? We learn a mesorah is all that it should just be like a simple song. So I just point out, what does it mean that we need to learn in order to understand the sukkah as well? We don't just learn; it's not like a song at all that we just want to just sing along that we don't understand what we're singing. The words don't matter; it's just that it sounds good. So you know the halacha. No, yeah, you have to learn the sukkah up. You learn the Gemara as well, and get to the halacha l'maisa. That's not just learning the simple, just the ABC what to do. You have to know the gemaras and know everything gets to there. Okay, the gemara is done. Rabbanan, we're learning a brisa. Hatzad speed suma v'yashin chayev. So someone who traps a blind or sleeping deer, you're still going to be chayev on Shabbos. However, chigav v'zaken cholat pater. If you trap a lame or old or sick deer, you would be Potter. So Gemara says, what's the difference? So Amrle Abayi Yosef, Maishna Hani Maishna. At the end of the day, what's the difference? Seemingly, both of these are either catchable or not catchable. And if they're, so the Gemara says now. So the Gemara says, explains. The Gemara says, "Hani avidi l'rabuye." The blind ones and the sleeping ones, they could run away when they sense a person is there. So therefore, when it comes to sumi yashen, therefore they're going to be chayav. However, the older ones and the sick ones, they can't get away, and therefore they're considered already previously trapped. So the fact that you trap them, you're not going to be chayav on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Va'atana, but we learn in a brisa chol lechayev that if we have a sick deer, you're going to be chayev." That contradicts the first ruling brisa, which says you're going to be pater. So the Gemara answers, "No, Amar Sheshes lekasha b'chol lemachmas ishisa ha'b'chol lemachmas of utzana." That so it depends. The first brisa was saying that you're going to be pater. That is when we're talking about a fever in that situation. So sorry, in that situation, you'll be chayev in that situation where it's going to be fever. However, when it's sick, when it's very weak, it's not able to run away, then you'd be pater because in that situation already considered previously tzad, so you're not bechayim d'oraisa. So now the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Hatzad, Chagavin, Guzuzin, Tzarin, V'yud Shishim, B'Shavas. Now more halachos when it comes to the braisa about trapping. Someone's trapping a grasshopper, a geese in Rashi says a different type of grasshopper, a type of hornet is the next one. And mosquito on Shabbos, you're going to be chayim. Divrei Rav Meir, this or Rav Meir, however, Chachavim, Omrim, Kol Shabino, Nitzot, Chayim. That it would depend. If it's something that you specifically use to be trapping, then it would be chayav. However, like a mosquito and things like that, when no one uses. So then, in that situation, it depends. If you're eating the hornets and mosquitoes, they have no use, so therefore you'll be pater, according to Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Tani Ido Chodar Nar Braisa Hatzad Chagavim Bishas Hatal. If someone traps the grasshoppers during the time of the dew, which is upon the ground, then pater, you're going to be exempt Bishas Hasharav. However, if they traps them during the time of the hot season, Chayav, you're going to be Chayav. What's the difference? Because when there's dew upon the ground, apparently the grasshoppers are blinded, they're considered to be already trapped. So therefore, they're taken. However, in 10 seats, the grasshopper is to be less active, so they should be chayav because apparently they can move around. That's what the chiddush over here. Elazar ben Mahavai Omer, Elazar ben Mahavai qualifies as Yim lekuchos ubaos pater. That if they're coming in swarms, you would be pater because apparently in that situation, it's easily able to take them, and you're not, you wouldn't be doing anything. So Mar says, where I have a question, Elazar ben Mahavai, Bahreshakai, Oasefakai. Is he going on the first part of the Mishnah or the second part of the Mishnah? Is he coming lechumra and ruling on the first case that only in the Shasatal, when it comes to the dew, is only if they're swarming, or is he going on a safe guard, is going on the last section, the ruling of Lakula, that someone can take them out in the time of the 10 seats, if they're gathered together, you'd be allowed. So the Gemara, or at least not allowed to be pater. Well, we'll see about pater v'aser, pater v'mutter, but it's not going to be, it's not going to be chayav. The Gemara says Tashma, the Gemara says we're going to learn a braisat, atzad chagav mishas atal, pater. Bishas Hasharav Chayav. So the Brisa quoted again, there's a time where it's a heat, you're going to be Chayav. Elazar ben Mahavai Omer, on that second part of the Mishnah, on the Brisa, Afilu Bishas Hasharav, even a time of the 10th heat, then, Hayum Akochas Abbas Pater, that if they were coming in swarms, you're going to be Pater. So it's clear, there's coming on the last ruling, coming Lakula, okay, we'll pick up Mitzvah Shem with Svi, Shinech Nasabai, and Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.